Great to be joined by Reid Cashman, the coach of the 20th ranked Dartmouth Big Green. Coach, great to see you. I have to tell you, I'm not even going to pretend we've been friends a long time. I'm shocked where you guys are. And I know you're probably not shocked, but I'm thrilled for you. What's transpired with your group out of the gate?
It's been a fun start. It's a fun team to work with. I mean, it's, first of all, we're four games in, right? So it's still November. But you can kind of, good leadership, freshmen have adapted quickly. We've had four defensemen score in four games. Hayden Stavrov has six. So our top guys are playing well. And then goaltending has been there. But I think the biggest thing, honestly, Pierre, and I said it to our team actually Saturday night after the game, is the two biggest things that I didn't know about and maybe underestimated was how competitive of a group we're going to have. Our eight first years are ultra competitive, and then our returning guys, they want to keep this thing going the right way. And so I probably underestimated that, and that's shown through even through the practice. And then our guys like each other, and it's a funny thing to say, but you know, you can see it again, not just through four games but through 2 months of preseason, there's a real strong care and love for each other. So all of a sudden you got an ultra competitive group that cares about each other, and it makes our team pretty fun to be around right now.
It's so refreshing to hear you talk that way. As a former coach, that makes me feel real good. Because one of the things I loved is when my guys got along, you get to the rink, you know they could work hard because they're going to support one another. But this is why I thought you'd have kind of an up and down start. Luke Hames is part of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization. Sean Chisholm's part of the Dallas Stars organization. Eric Flinton's part of the Tampa Bay Lightning. John Fusco is part of the Washington Capitals. Ian Pearce is playing pro hockey. I know he's in the East Coast League, but I don't know whose organization he's a part of. All that being said, that's a lot of firepower. And then you combine that with losing Cooper Black a season before. Like, that's a lot of artillery out of your lineup. How'd the freshman adapt so quickly, Coach?
Yeah, and Brayden Dorfman's playing over in Europe. So the hope is that we're doing our job in developing, and we're really proud of those guys, whether they left early and signed NHL deals or got their degree. But then it's, we return some great leadership, and the hope is that Hank Cleave learned from Luke Hames, right? And Hayden Stavrov learned from Cooper Flinton. CJ and Sharpie were able to watch Piercy and Johnny. And so now it's just an elevated role. Like, Hank Cleave is a heck of a hockey player. Now those minutes that Luke Hames had, now Hank gets them. And then the freshmen come in, And we just start at ground zero with, and again, culture is a buzzword, but there's a certain way that we practice and we play, whether it's, you know, 1 through 27 on a roster, there's some non-negotiables, and so they look up and it's, you know, guys are sprinting back to line on the first practice of the first day. And so they're just looking around being like, oh, I guess I better sprint back to the line. And I give our returning guys a lot of credit for that. And then they're, like I said, they're really competitive kids, man. And we try to recruit that, but you don't really know until they get on your campus. And
yeah, you're absolutely right. You never know until they get on campus. I watched your 4-1 win over Colgate. I watched parts of your 2-1 win over Cornell. There was a lot of hockey going on this weekend, so I couldn't watch it all, but I watched parts of Saturday night with Cornell. That's got to be something special for you early on in the season to go against a team like that that's really well built.
Yeah, they got a great roster. I mean, they've been doing it for a long time. Casey's obviously an excellent coach who had a ton of success at Clarkson as a head coach, and they haven't skipped a beat both recruiting and how they play. And that's a, you know, Ivy, ECAC, and even on the national scale, that's a big game at Thompson Arena. The arena was full. And then it's been like every game has been a little bit different, but to have a 2-1 lead versus a nationally ranked opponent, and to play the right way in the third. And then we had to get a massive penalty kill about halfway through the third. And then 6-on-4 at the end of the game. And we had, again, different guys playing in that role than the previous year, outside of maybe CJ Foley and Eric Charpentier. We had guys in the ice that weren't there. We had Brock Cummings, a freshman, was taking the draw with 30 seconds to go because he's been our best faceoff guy. And I said, here you go, Brock, go take that draw. And he makes it a 50-50 draw. Then he blocked a shot. So how we won is probably as important that we won. And then we reload and get ready for the North Country here. So
We never rehearsed this show. I'm glad you brought up Brock Cummings. He's a Belmont Hill kid who grew up in Toronto, goes down to play in Boston in the ISL. A lot of people think those players are doomed when they go to the prep schools now because of the new CHL and obviously major junior allowed play in college hockey. Is prep school hockey dead?
I hope everybody thinks it is, because we'll keep grabbing some pretty good players out of there. No, I mean, it's there's a kids have more options, but those programs down there and those coaches are doing a great job. It isn't, it's going to go, it's high school, prep school, whatever you want, whether it's Minnesota or New England, yeah. It's going to go the high school, the prep school to junior hockey, to college, to pro. And every once in a while, someone's going to skip one of those steps, but that's the plan. And so there are some really great development models in the prep school world in New England and in the high school hockey in Minnesota and a little bit in Michigan. And so I don't think that's going anywhere. And we got some great, I mean, CJ Foley played at Thayer, you know, Brock played, like we've got some great prep school hockey players on our team, and I can't comment on them, but we got some studs coming from that level.
Recruiting out of the CHL to Dartmouth, easy, hard, not anything you're concerned with?
I think it's been kind of refreshing. What I think is you can outwork, staffs can outwork other staffs. That's what I think can happen. I think Dartmouth, one of the reasons I love Dartmouth, it's name brand around the world. Like we call up a kid that hasn't thought about college hockey his whole life and you use the word Dartmouth and they know what that is. And that's been really exciting for us. And then it's about educating on, you know, what we're doing down here as far as developing, you know, certainly I would say in general recruiting, more people have stayed on the phone longer as we've had these undrafted free agents, as we've had these draft picks, as we've put 4, 5, 6 guys in pro hockey over the last couple of years. So that part of it is, I'm not easier, but just it's opened more doors. And then, you know, geographically, we're 2 hours from Sherbrooke, man. We're right in the backyard of the Quebec Major Junior League. I've been open about it. It's a priority for us. We wanted those high academic, high achieving hockey players. We want Dartmouth to be their first stop if they're going to come down and play college. So we're spending a lot of time where we're working our butts off. Jason Tapp, Byron Poole, Brian Fahey, these guys are awesome and they're hard workers and they believe in what we're doing here and they're out on the road constantly. So
you played in the league at Quinnipiac. You coached in the league as an assistant at Quinnipiac. Now you're the head coach at Dartmouth. How much has the ECAC changed or is it still the same?
Well, Rand's still down there. So some things haven't changed, you know, but my dad told me, I think when Keith retired, he's like, you might be the fourth longest tenured coach, you know, in the league. And so there's been some turnover as far as head coaches go. The institutions haven't changed. It's 12 tremendous institutions that not only develop hockey players to be pros, but give you an opportunity when hockey ends, which it ends for all of us, right? I was 28, Charles 42. Well, it ends for all of us at some point. And these 12 institutions give you a chance to have success for the rest of your life. I think we're adapting as a league. You know, I think we've had some massive wins this year. You know, Clarkson beats North Dakota. Colgate goes up to Maine, beats them. What Quinnipiac has done at BC. So I like our league. I like the trajectory. I think major junior opening is really good for our league because I think we're going to go find some good players. And every night, man, like we're getting ready for St. Lawrence and that is a tough barn to play. And I love it. It's one of my favorite buildings in the league, but every night it's a challenge and we know that.
I used to have the best office in that building for a long time. I loved it. It was fantastic. It's a
great building, man. It's awesome.
I can't wait to see you up there. I'll take you to Sergi's for a pizza roll when we're there. Don't worry. I know you know it well. Coach, I got to ask you about the different players in the league right now in terms of, are guys prepared to stay longer? Do you think the fast track to the NHL is kind of over and guys understand they need to stay a little bit longer?
I'll be honest with you. I think it's the individual and I think it's the parents and I think it's the advisor. I think the NHL needs to fill their systems, right? Those guys, especially those teams that want to make a run at the cup, they trade assets at the deadline to bring in players to make a run. And then in the spring, they look around and be like, oof, we had 2 draft picks and 3 draft picks. Like we need some prospects. And I think those guys are even more now going to go to college hockey and not as much major junior. Cause I think those 19, 20 year old major junior guys are going to go to college. So I think those teams are going to continue to look into college. I think if we're doing our job, they're going to come to Dartmouth because we're developing. And then it's going to be up to the individual when they feel like they're ready to go. And we're never going to get in the way of a kid that's chasing his dream and that the NHL wants to sign you. But I try to use my experience, coached in the NHL, coached in the American League, have seen what a minor league bus trip is compared to an NHL plane trip is, and just how challenging it is. And I just want our guys to go when they're ready, when they're ready to compete against men. And we try to prepare them every day to be ready for that journey.
I know what makes Dartmouth special, because my daughter went there and she could have gone to a lot of other schools. What makes Dartmouth special for you?
Well, for me, first, I'm from Minnesota, but I married a New Hampshire girl. I got three daughters. This is home for us. We're planning on being here for a long time. I think for our players and for our alums, it's the community, man. Like, this is, you show up here, 90% of our kids live on campus. When I say our kids, Dartmouth students, all 4 years. I mean, you are immersed in the community. Your professors live on campus. Your coaches live on campus. It is just a special place. And I think because of that, what really makes it special is when you graduate and you go into the world and you meet somebody and you say, I'm a Dartmouth alum, and that person's a Dartmouth alum. It is instant, because, man, I swam in the river. We went to the same places. It is unique that way. So it's that community base.
One of the cool things about being at Dartmouth is a rivalry you have with the University of Vermont. I know they're in two different leagues now, but how intense is that rivalry, even though they're in Hockey East and obviously you're in ECAC?
Well, I think the best example I can give for that is 3 years ago, we're in the middle of a 5-win season. We were the worst team in the country. Let's just be honest. We are not in a good place at all. In Vermont, came down to play us, and it was our first sellout since 2018. And so it was awesome. Thompson was jammed. And that's because Vermont traveled well, and it's because the people around here, they wanted a better Dartmouth team, but they're going to come watch us play Vermont. And now the attendance has certainly grown over the last couple of years, but we're right on the border, right? So both fan bases are passionate. And I would even add, we play UNH, so I have an agreement with both UNH and Vermont that we're going to play each other every year. And I think it's awesome, because we got two built-in rivalry games. Both are, you know, within an hour and a half of each other. And they're Hockey East, but those are important games on our schedule. And the week of those games, we certainly talk about it, right? These are important ones for us.
I don't want you to talk too much about rivals, but I see a program in the middle part of New York State called RPI starting to make some serious headway with the new coaching staff. Have you had a chance to watch them play? And if so, are they making that progress that I think they're making?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's a top 10 coach, maybe. I mean, what he did at AIC, I don't know how many people can do that. So when RPI hired him, you just knew that was a home run. Now give him major junior and 1200 players eligible, give him a transfer portal and some of his hires, his staff. Yeah, I've watched him play a couple of times now, and there's no doubt there's an identity, and then he's going to get the players that he needs. To be honest with you, I don't mind talking, like, to see what Union and Josh is doing up there. Like, that's going to be a man. That's a road trip, right? And that's going to be a challenge. But it's also, if we want the ECAC to get back to being a four-team league, that's what we need to have. I thought it was a great hire, and excited for really both those programs up there.
The last couple of years, you've had a chance to go with your team to Lake Placid and experience what it's all about as a coach. Your Lake Placid experience, can you talk about it?
Well, it's something that is unique to the ECAC. It is one of the most special hockey villages, hockey towns in America. The history there, whether it's the 32, right, Olympics, the 80 Olympics, the amount of international stuff, both men and women that have gone through that town, and it's a village, right? So that's what's even more special about it. And so when you're up there, it shuts down. It's all ECAC. It's all hockey. and you just know it's special, right? When you come on Dartmouth campus, you know it's special. When you go to the Bell Center in Montreal, you know it's special. The first time I was in that building, I'd never been there, and I just knew, man, there's history here. And that's what Lake Placid is. You drive into that town and you go to that rink, and you just, even if you've never been there before, you're like, man, this is a special place. And I love that we have our finals there. I was part of a championship team there with Quinnipiac, and I can't wait to go there and win two games, right? And really, really put our mark on it.
It is an amazing thing. I find it so fascinating. And I'm so happy that the young players in particular get to experience going to Lake Placid if their team's obviously good enough to get there. Speaking of good enough, every weekend it seems like there's a major upset in the ECAC. I can't say that about all the other leagues to date, but in the ECAC, it seems like every weekend. Are you seeing that, or am I just seeing something that maybe is not that big a deal?
No, I mean, I think around the country, I think college hockey got a lot of attention this summer and this fall, which was great because there are some really, really good hockey players coming into college hockey and in all the leagues, right? And so we got a lot of attention. And then the puck drops, though, and you have some really well-coached, maybe older teams, and playing against 18 and 19-year-old superstars. And there's always been parity in college hockey. I mean, we've always had the Jack Eichels, the Owen Power. Like we've had good players in college hockey, and they don't win every year because there's been parity. And there's a path to have a really good program, whether it's through the 18-year-old or through developing and keeping your kids for 3 or 4 years. So I just think there's more attention. But yeah, it's you can't predict who's going to win each night, whether it's our league or across the country. And I think that's why it's such a great college hockey is special. It's only going to grow with the kind of caliber player that every team, right? Whether it's the independent, our league, any of the other leagues, there's more players and there's better players. And the depth of college hockey is as good as it's ever been.
So what's a typical week like? You go to St. Lawrence and Clarkson this weekend. When do you leave? Where do you, I don't want you to tell me where you stay, but what's your team set up for the rest of this week?
Yeah. So we went long practices Monday, Tuesday. Monday is an identity day for us. Whether we get swept or we sweep, we're going to show 10 or less clips of what we did right on the weekend. And then we're going to practice to that. And then yesterday we start to get into St. Lawrence a little bit. A lot of small area stuff, a lot of, you know, things just happen fast in that building, and you got to be ready to transition offensively fast, and you got to be able to defend fast. And so that's been a major component to how we've practiced. We don't ever deal with the Saturday opponent in our league, regardless of who it is. It's just, it's challenging enough to deal with the Friday opponent. So everything we've done has been based off of getting ready for Appleton Arena and in St. Lawrence. We'll have a really good practice Thursday. We'll jump on the bus. Brian Corcoran finds the best meals in town wherever we go. So he's got to set up for dinner Thursday night and then we'll be ready to go.
So just a quick question. When you go from Dartmouth to Canton, do you go up to Vermont and you take the ferry across or you take the land bridge across? What do you do?
I'll tell you what, Pierre, I should know. I don't know. I know we get on the bus and about 5 hours later we pull in. I couldn't tell you. I'm thinking what I've learned is that I there's things I can control and there's things that I can't control. Yeah. And I'm pretty good at overthinking the things I can't control. I have a lot of trust in our bus driver, Rod, that he's going to get there. I will say I'm happy to make the trip in November and not in February.
Yeah. Well, I'm agreeing on that one too. I used to do that a lot in different times and it wasn't that easy. Coach, thank you so much for your time. It's great to see Dartmouth hockey doing so well. It's an important franchise in the league. Can't wait to see you Friday, and I look forward to watching your team play on Friday night at Appleton Arena. Can't wait.
Thanks, Pierre. I really appreciate it.